work on our 51st year of ministry here at Calvary Baptist Church. I'm reminded that Calvary throughout its history has been a church willing to launch out and do the will of God. I talked about that there were three words that I believe have described Calvary Baptist Church throughout its history. And the first one was faith, that Calvary has manifested itself as a church willing to believe God. And we know that faith honors God and God honors faith, and without faith it's impossible to please Him. And I believe that God's calling on us tonight to be a people of faith. And then I talked about in the Calvary story that not only a people of faith, but a people of commitment. That the faith led to action, and that there was obedience to the Lord and a commitment to that God has called us to do throughout its history as a church. And that's an exciting thing to step forward and do that God places in front of us. And I called it the miracle on Main Street. Probably way back in 1969 when that group of people met there in that old truck stop building on Highway 52. They didn't envision and imagine all that God would do. And then one day we'd be sitting on Main Street and have the impact in our community and around the world that God has allowed us to have. They never have dreamed of 2 million scriptures being handed out. But here's what they did have a dream. They had a dream that God wanted an independent, fundamental, Bible-believing Baptist church here in King. They did believe, and they could see that God wanted to do a work here. And they believed God in their day. And then there have been other generations of Calvary people that believed God in their day and then committed themselves to it. And then tonight, we want to be a group of people that believe God for our day and commit to that God has for us. And then it's a story of sacrifice. That when God calls on us as a church to take a step of faith and take a step of commitment, that there would be sacrifice that would take place to accomplish that God's called us to be and God's called us to do. And God's given us a goodly heritage. We saw that. And we're talking about the founding principles of our church that make us who and what we are. And number one in your notes tonight, we talked about how that we are a Bible preaching church. I believe that Calvary Baptist Church is known for a place where the Word of God is loved and preached and obeyed. In 2 Timothy 4:1 in your notes, he said, "I charge thee before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick, the living, and the dead, is appearing in kingdom. Preach the word, herald the word, proclaim the word in Sunday school, children's church, on the bus routes, down at the jail, in our jail ministry, RU on Friday nights, the pulpit of Calvary Baptist Church, in the Bible college classroom, that the Word of God is preached and taught and God's people are exhorted from the Word of God." Friend, I just believe that a healthy diet of preaching, or a steady diet of preaching, leads to a well-nourished and healthy congregation. And I believe that's important. And then I want you to tell you why. Look at verse number 3. He's going to tell you why. "For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust desires shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables." And he said, I want you to preach the word because there's coming a day when people aren't going to want to hear the word and they're not going to desire the word. And they're going to turn away from it and they're going to want somebody to tell them what they want to hear rather than what they need to hear. And I believe that Calvary Baptist Church is a place that says, "Preacher, tell me what I need to hear, rather than necessarily what makes me feel good." And I believe that makes for a great church tonight. And so, number one, Bible preaching. Number two, we talked about personal evangelism. That we take the commission of reaching the world seriously. And I'm just giving a quick recap so folks can sort of fill in their blanks there of where we were from last Wednesday night, because we want to just reset. We want to recalibrate as we launch out in the coming decade. I just want to remind us tonight, a faith worth having is a faith worth sharing. Amen? And we want to reach the world. And part of that, now I'm going to talk about missions a little bit later on, but personal evangelism, that's not John and Romans. That's not giving in faith promise. No, that's me personally going to my people on the job, people in the community, people out and around, and having a gospel witness for Jesus Christ. Listen, you know what? And I gave my last one out tonight. But you can't effectively witness if you don't have something to give out. I just want to recommend, visit the tract racks in our church regularly. All right? Make sure that you have something on you so that you can say a word and leave a word for the Lord. And ask God to help you day in, day out. And I pray, I say, Lord, help me every day to share the gospel in some form, some fashion. Whether it's just handing a tract or leaving it on a table for a waiter or waitress, that I can impact or share somebody the gospel of Christ. And through our care outreach and the different ministries of our church, helping people to come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Hey, listen, I'm glad somebody cared about me. Aren't you glad somebody cared about you? Whether it's a soul winner, a Sunday school teacher, pastor, youth pastor, somebody, mom or dad, somebody had a burden for you. And friend, we ought to have a burden for somebody else. Amen? And then notice, and we put a lot of the passages in your notes so that we could move quickly. We talked about having a personal walk with God. And in your notes, 2 Timothy 2:2. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who should be able to teach others also. And we want to launch out in Growth Point Discipleship. We're going to talk more about that as part of our launch out vision and sharing with you how that we want to make sure that we're fulfilling the third aspect of the Great Commission of reaching people with the gospel, seeing them saved, baptizing them and uniting them with a Bible-believing local church like this one. And then teaching them to observe all things whatsoever our Lord's commanded us. Jesus said, teaching them to observe whatsoever I have commanded you. And He didn't just say teach them to observe. Folks, listen, it's not the hearer but the doer that's blessed of God. Amen? And we want to help people to do God's will for their life. And we want to be faithful in that area and help people grow and take the next steps of faith in their lives. I want you to look at a verse of Scripture. I hope you left your Bible open too. Look at Jude verse number 20. And I want to show you something there. Find the big book of Revelation and last book of the Bible. Turn back one block, one book to the left, and you'll find the little book of Jude. And find, if you would please, verse number 20. Do you know everybody ought to be a disciple of Jesus Christ? That means I need to be yielded to Him and bowing before the Lordship of Christ, allowing Him to have more and more and more control in my life and yielding myself to Him. And part of that is what our mission of our church is, honoring God, building lives. I have a responsibility to build my life spiritually. I ought to be continually building myself spiritually, growing in the Lord and helping someone else to grow. Look at verse 20 of Jude. But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Friend, you can't build yourself spiritually apart from a daily time in the Word of God and prayer. Every Christian ought to carve out in their lives time with God every day of their life. Jot down in your notes 1 Peter 2:2. We won't turn there tonight. The Bible said, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the Word that you may grow thereby. And so we want to start people on the milk of the Word and then move them to the meat of the Word. We want to see them grow into mature Christians. And you know what? You and I ought to be mature Christians. And this matter of building our lives spiritually is an ongoing task. I've not arrived. You've not arrived. Nobody's arrived. Everybody can take another step of faith. Everybody can grow. And we need to be continually building ourselves spiritually. I can promise you this. If you're not building up yourself in the Bible and the Word of God in prayer, you're anemic spiritually. If you're not going forward, I promise you, you're going backward. Nobody's static in the Christian life. And so we want to help people. And we want to be a place to cultivate the discipline of walking with God. Then number four, jot this one down. We want a biblical approach to ministry. A biblical approach to ministry. Do you know all that we do as a church ought to be rooted in the Scripture? Did you know that? Let me tell you what our authority is, and I'll talk about this when we talk about when we talk about what we believe as a church, and we go through all of that and why we stand on the King James Bible and all of these things, just recalibrating ourselves. But folks, listen, I don't want to be driven by tradition. Far too many ministries are driven by tradition, even in our independent fundamental Baptist movement. Well, that's the way we've always done it. Well, that's not a reason to do anything. Folks, we don't stand on the King James Bible because grandma and great grandma and great 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 grandma did it. We stand on the King James Bible because there's a Bible principle about it, about the preservation of the Word of God, and God has preserved His Word. There's over 300 modern versions, and they can't all be the Word of God. Because they're different. One must be the Word of God. And we believe as a church that the King James Version of the Bible is the preserved, inspired, inerrant Word of the living God, that God has preserved His inspired words, and so that we hold in our hands the very Word of God tonight. And it ought to be what directs us as a church. And taking an offering, singing, congregational hymn, singing to yourselves and making melody in your hearts to the Lord, and singing with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. See, singing together as church is biblical. Preaching is biblical. Taking an offering is biblical, 1 Corinthians 16. Going soul winning as a church, that's biblical. Missions and reaching the world, that's in the Bible. We want to make sure that what we do has a biblical foundation for it. Because folks, listen, that is our authority. Not what some church dogma is, or what some group over here done, or what some organization over there says. No, what does God say? He's the head of the church. And we want to follow Him. We'll be a church that would maintain a conservative position on the Scriptures. And you say, Preacher, what is that? Well, that's just we believe the Bible. That's just a whole way of putting that, right? And we believe the Bible to be the Word of God. And we don't take some of it or part of it, but all of it. And all of the Bible to be the Word of God, and a biblical style of worship. You know, I'm just going to tell you, what we are is what we are, and we just ain't going to change. You know? I know that we live in a day when you know, people are wanting to let down here or change this over there, pull the altar out so nobody feels offended or whatever, you know. Well, I don't want to pull our altar out. That's where people meet with God. We come meet with God. Respond to Him. So I said, well, I don't believe coming to the altar is biblical. Well, Jesus said, coming to me. And I know we can't come into Him physically, but there's something about getting up out of my seat and responding to the Lord. And letting God work in our lives. Not interested in changing the pulpit for a bar stool. Amen. What about you? Amen. I just want somebody to stand up here and tell me what God says. You know, not interested in. Somebody said, "Does you know? Do we need a worship leader?" Well, folks, we have one. It's called a pastor. Amen. He leads the worship of a church. You know, we don't need to start going down some kind of line with praise and worship groups and all of that. I think we praise and worship God pretty good right here at Calvary. I'm not trying to be unkind, but I just, you know, I don't want to go to church and worship to the music of a dance hall. I just don't want to do that. I believe God's holy. And I want to honor the Lord. And I want to please Him. And folks, the Bible is our authority tonight. And I want you to look at a verse with me. You got your Bible open. I jotted these down. You can add them to your notes. And you, if we don't look at what's in your notes, you can read those on your own. Look at 1 Timothy chapter number 3. Look at 1 Timothy chapter number 3. I'm excited about future Wednesday nights. After we get done with Starting Point, my goal is what's the Lord's put in my heart. We're going to walk through the Bible, Genesis through Revelation. I want to take us all the way through the Bible and just give you an overview of every book you read as you read through the Bible. So and when I approach that book, I'll understand something of what it's about and do that. And then we get done with that, we may go through 1 Timothy. Because I want to show you a verse. Look at verse number 15. Paul's writing to a young pastor by the name of Timothy, and he said, but if I tarry long, if I can't get to you when I want to get to you, Timothy, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God. You know, God just wants us to behave ourselves in His house. And He's given us a Bible so that we'll know how, which is the church of the living God. Friend, it's not my church, not your church, it's God's church. And He lets us be a part of it. The pillar and ground of the truth. God's given us the truth, and we need to love it and guard it and share it. And God said, I want you to know how to behave. And let me just say something. What we believe as a church will determine how we behave as a church and how we worship God. And let me just say something tonight. Worship is not so much for you and me as it is God. I'm not worshiping you, and you're not worshiping me. We're worshiping God, and we need to worship Him His way and not our way. It's not what makes me feel good. What pleases my God? That's what I need to ask myself. That needs to be the crux of my worship. whether it's on Monday, in my prayer closet, in my secret place or prayer, whatever you call your prayer closet, whether it's the woods. You know, I know that when Lori and I first started out married, the only place I get along with God with two screaming kids was the bathroom. I'd go in there and lock the door, and it was the only safe place in the house. You know what I'm saying? Closet wasn't even safe. I'd go in there and lock the door, and you, wherever it is, you know, whether it's on Monday or Sunday, hey, it's for Him. It's about Him tonight. Let's lift Him up. When we lift Him up, you know what? God said He'll draw men to Him. Wow. We want to, number five, mentor growing Christians. Now, I know we want to work on Scripture tonight, so that's one good thing about this series of lessons. I can cut them off like a loaf of bread. Okay? We can come back next Wednesday night. If the Lord comes, we won't even worry about it, will we? We want to mentor growing Christians. In your notes, Titus chapter 2, verse 3, the aged women. Now, that doesn't mean old. Okay? This has nothing to do necessarily with how old a person is physically, age-wise. This is spiritual maturity. The aged women, likewise, that they be in behaviors becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young. Now, if you're concerned about that much wine thing, listen to my series of messages on biblical alcohol, on wine in the Bible, and should Christians drink alcohol? And it'll answer the question here. That's grape juice, not fermented wine, okay? Teachers of good things. And it has the idea, you say, well, why not much wine? Because they didn't drink grape juice at every meal. They drank water. Grape juice was a luxury. That was special times, what they drank, meals and all of that. And so he was saying, listen, don't live luxuriously. That's what he's saying. Extravagantly. Teachers of good things. Verse 4, that they may teach the young women. And some of that's by example as well as verbal. You know, if you've been saved a while, you need to be an example to the younger, growing Christian ladies and teenagers and in our church. They're watching you, by the way. How we conduct ourselves as Christians. That they may teach the young women to be sober. Again, that doesn't have to do with drinking. That means to be sober-minded. It has the idea of thinking, taking life seriously. To love their husbands. To love their children. You know what? It's interesting. You'd think, well, why in the world would somebody have to teach somebody to love their husband or love their children? Because we live in a society that doesn't teach women to do that. Doesn't. Well, I was talking to one of our members a minute ago about the feminization of men in America. Part of what our men's prayer breakfasts are all about is just men being men and growing as God's men. You know, the watchword of our day is toxic masculinity. Here's toxic masculinity to the average American, okay, that has adopted the worldly philosophy. It's just a man in America who's being what God created him to be. That's what toxic masculinity is. If you're a man and you lead your home and lead your family in the right direction and you present yourself as a man, you're toxic. That's what they teach at Harvard University. That's what they teach at Princeton and Yale. By the way, that's what they teach your children at the secular universities around here. And that's why we want to counter the culture and say that God's created us to be men and He's created ladies to be ladies, and there's something about being feminine, something about being masculine, and God made us different to complement one another, and that in marriage we might become one. That's what He did. And notice, if you would, verse 5, to be discreet, chaste, keepers of home, good, obedient to their own husbands, the Word of God, be not blasphemed. Do you know, in our society, they would say, just for me to say the word obedient to their own husbands would be toxic masculinity. It's not saying that my wife's my doormat. It's just saying that she lets me be the leader, even when I make mistakes. But she's not my doormat either. I need to lovingly lead her and nourish and cherish her as the Lord of the church. I tell you what, fellas, when you recognize that you take the place of Christ in your home, it'll change how you think about your role. Has Jesus ever ridiculed you? Has He ever been hateful and harsh to you? Have He ever mistreated you? Then why should we ever be that way toward our wives? See, he's my example. I don't think there's anything toxic about Jesus, do you? Boy, I'm getting way out there, aren't I? Anyway, it's good for us. I told you I wasn't going to be in a hurry. I'm just sort of preaching along as we go. I like it. Young men, likewise, exhort to be sober-minded. Fellas, let me just say something, okay? And I want to say something to men here, all right? You can't play video games all the time and lead your family. I don't even know what the latest video game is. I quit playing Pong. That's when I gave it up. I'm not against video games. But I know men that have lost their marriages because they come home from work and they sit down on some type of video game where they, you know, play Army Man with other people all over the world, and they do it till 1, 2, 3 in the morning. They neglect their wife, neglect their children, neglect their family, barely able to get up the next morning and go to work, and then wonder why their family's disintegrating. I'm trying to be unkind, but Paul said when he became a man, he put away childish things. You say, preacher, that's a little stout tonight. Well, sometimes we just need to be stout and remind ourselves what we ought to be. We ought to be men of God. And you don't have to be a preacher to be a man of God. Anybody, any man in this room can be a man of God. Any lady in this room can be a woman of God. Well, it may take us a while, folks. In all things, showing thyself a pattern of good works and doctrine, showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity. I'm grateful for the men. I'm going to close with this. I'm grateful for the men in my life, and I can name four. I want tonight. I can name four. That as a young Christian, and later as a young preacher, that said, you know what? I love that guy. And they put their arm around me. And they began to mentor me and grow me and guide me. And by the way, correct me. And help me to become who I am today. And I'm thankful for it. And you know what, fellas? If you've been in this fight for a while, you ought to find you a young man in our church and you ought to put your arm around him and help him grow. Maybe he's an older fellow, but he hasn't been saved long and he just needs another man to step in and help him and encourage him. I'm thankful for the 90 men on Saturday that showed up for our men's prayer breakfast and God just sort of came down and drew us together as a group of men. You know what I like is I feel like that's a group of men I can be real with. I don't have to put on a front. We don't have to put on a facade for everybody. We can just be real men. You know what? Real men have struggles. And real men have problems. And real men are honest. Amen. And they don't look down on other men because you know what? We're all fellow strugglers at trying to be what we ought to be. To help us to become what we ought to be for God. Because ain't not one of us arrived. Amen? And so we want... That's what our ministry wants to be about is mentoring by example, by having opportunities. And I want to encourage you ladies to avail yourselves of the ladies' meeting. Avail yourselves of Sunday school. Avail yourselves of the men's and the opportunities that we present as a church for us to grow together as a group of believers to become what God wants us to be. And you know what? You help me grow. I help you grow. You sharpen me, I sharpen you. It's just a group of people trying to grow together and be what God wants us to be. Amen? Well, number six, you can just jot it down, missions hearted. I believe the 2 million scriptures said something about that tonight, didn't it? We'll come back to this one on next Wednesday. I think we'll finish up next week on this one and dive into it. But you know what? I just want to remind us tonight, church, of what we are as a church and what we're about and what we want to be. And I'm just going to tell you, and listen, I don't know why anybody would go anywhere else. I just say it because I love this place. I just love it. I think it's the greatest place on planet Earth. Okay? But you realize that we're not going to be for everybody because of some of the stands we're going to take, because some of the commitments that we're going to have, and some of the directions we're going to go. There's going to be people that come and they're going to go, well, I don't want that. But I tell you what, I'd rather have God, what God wants us to have in a group of people because, see, we're not trying to build a crowd. The Lord's building a church. And we want to reach as many people as we can. We want to connect as many people as we can to our ministry. We want to grow as much as we can grow. But church, we want to do it God's way. Because anything else is frivolous. And it's not going to honor God. It's about growing people. And Christ being formed in our lives. Amen? And pleasing Him. And that's what I want to endeavor it to be, is a pastor that leads a church like what you are. And I want to say thank you. I'd rather be here than any place I know. And I tell you what, I'm excited about who we are, what God's allowed us to be, and where He's taken us, aren't you? Amen. Praise the Lord for it. Let's stand our feet tonight. Maybe God's spoken to your heart. You have a need. You need to